music before we got here today. The beauty of how Jane and Lynn and Kyle and others pray about the music and how that music is integrated with the gospel passage or the scriptures that are for today. And dang-gum, it was. Thank you. So I don't really need to say anything else because that was already said, but we'll do something anyway. It's not a... It's got the... This is my second attempt at the use of technology. I told Gary that I think probably at attempt 20, I might be fairly competent at making this stuff happen. But we had a plan. Thank you. Okay. We can do it at the end or not at all. However you want to do it. It's the one. It's not one of those. Somewhere else. Okay.
So it's Trinity and Jesus.
I think that is. Yeah, it's just not on here. That one. Yeah, we'll when we get it, we'll play it maybe at the end or something. it's probably God saying, "Don't try to use technology for a while." I really don't mind not using it. I did want to begin today with what is obvious about our service, and that is that it is on Mother's Day. And I know that Mother's Day is a hard day for some people because you don't have a mother. Your mother has died or gone from your life, or that the mother that you had was not the kind of mother that you wanted to have. Or that you as a mother feel inadequate or feel like you've maybe failed or something like that. So, you know, there are a lot of complications on a day like today. And so what I thought is that I think every one of us has this capacity to imagine what the perfect mother would be like. I'd like for you to just take a second and imagine what the perfect mother would be like. And as you imagine that, I want you to take that out as big as the universe. And then if you can, I want you to take that out bigger than the universe, to God Himself, from whom mother came, comes. And know that despite your experience or reference point about yourself or about the mother that you had or didn't have, that there is this sense of mother that comes from the heart of God, that was created by Him, that is a part of who He is, that is overshadowing everything in your experience today, if you will. So do not let your categories limit your capacity to celebrate mother. Celebrate it as it really is, in the heart of God, poured out over this world through every female that has ever walked the planet. You have a mother beyond your imagination. You have a mother bigger than the universe. You have a mother who is coming from God. Do we get it?
Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave Him authority over all people, so that He might give eternal life to all those you gave Him. And eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the man who was bound to be lost, so that the scripture might come true. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world, so that they may have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. But I do not ask you to take them out of the world. But I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. Just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world. And for their sake, I dedicate myself to you in order that they too may be truly dedicated to you. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us, just as you were in me and I am in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one just as you and I are one. I and them and you and me. So that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me. Father, you have given them to me, and I want them to be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, the glory you gave me. For you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you sent me. I made you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and so that I also may be in them.
The Rosen School of Hebrew is a prestigious academy.
So how do you improve on the literal words of Christ? That was my struggle as I was preparing this sermon today, because this passage is almost in its entirety the literal words of Christ in what is called his prayer. The Lord's Prayer that we typically know is when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them a form of prayer. But this was his prayer. A little before I begin about John, remember who he is. What did he call himself? The disciple that Jesus loved. Wouldn't it be a little more comfortable if he had said a disciple that Jesus loved? It could take on a sense of arrogance if you think that he used the word the instead of a. But I would like to offer you the opportunity to be the disciple that Jesus loved. To feel so set apart in your relationship with him that you do not see yourself as a face in a crowd. You see his face and your face, his eyes and your eyes, his words and your heart resonating. You are the disciple that Jesus loves. And remember, we've said many times as I've preached out of John that the tradition is that when John was on his deathbed and he was being carried into the synagogue on the Sabbath, that over and over and over again he said one thing. Do you remember what that is? Little children, love one another. And tradition says that's all he said after a while. If you're the disciple that Jesus loved, your mantra will become, little children, love one another. It is this disciple that Jesus loves that wrote this book. I love the way he writes, because he gets a lot of detail in by carrying the narrative forward. He gives us the history. He gives us the words of Christ. But occasionally he just sort of stops and he digs deep. And then he comes out and he goes on for a while, then he stops and he digs deep.
And in this section that we have, that believe it or not, begins in chapter 13. So I'm going to preach today on chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So if you have any Mother's Day plans, you might want to start texting right now and tell people that we might be done by 7, because Father Don is going to preach on 5 chapters from the Gospel of John. The reason I'm going to talk about all of those chapters is because what John does is he basically takes the narrative of the triumphal entry and when Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he slows almost to a crawl every moment thereafter. And so from 13 to 17, he's describing Thursday and early Friday morning. That's what this is about. After he gets to Jerusalem, it's Thursday and early Friday morning before they come and get him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. A lot of stuff happened in that very short period of time. And much of that, John records for us. So what I want to do is hit the high spots of 13, 14, 15, and 16, and then hit the high spots of 17, but dig in just a hair with that. First of all, am I the disciple that Jesus loved? I want you to answer that for yourself. And it's okay if you're not there yet. But if you're willing to believe that you are the only one in the universe to him, the disciple, then the magnitude, the specificity, the beauty, the life-changing impact of his love will carry you forward into a place where you have that kind of confidence, which is mercy-based, out of humility, and couldn't be farther away from arrogance. So let's look at chapter 13 of John very quickly. We see, after, as I said, the triumphal entry, and after that in 13, we know that we have the Last Supper where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He gives them the example of a servant. He loves them the way a servant would. And in that section in chapter 13, he says, "I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me." And then Jesus asks who that's going to be, and Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am." And then he says, "I am the way." And do you know that? And in verse 15 of chapter 14, Jesus does this amazing thing by adding to the beauty of these events that are happening, to encourage them, to let them know that this is way beyond what they're going to experience emotionally, what they're going to observe, and the reference points that are going to come from what they observe. He says, if you love me, you will obey my command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Listen, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will. Because I live, you also will live. All this I have spoken to you, this is verse 25, still in chapter 14. All this I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. I give you this peace not as the world gives. Again, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Verse 15 is the vine and the branches, and I imagine that I imagine that as Jesus was walking out of Jerusalem, making his way toward the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where these final hours would be spent, he must have seen a vine. He must have been triggered to speak these words. By the way, if you had 17 hours to live and you knew it, what would you talk about? We have a window into the heart of our Lord about his disciples. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for us. We have a window into the heart of the Lord about us, because these are his final words, and everything that he is giving in this narrative is coming out of that place of depth, because he knows they're going to need every word that he has for them to go through the things that are ahead. Isn't that our place as well? Don't we need every word that he has given us to live in this life that is full of difficulties and tragedy and confusion and distortion, attack, pain, fear? So he says, I'm the true vine. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Chapter 16. I'm going to be with you a little while longer, he says to them. And in verse 12, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But listen, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. After a little while, you will literally see him. So this leads us to chapter 17. I want to just posit for a moment that as Jesus was leaving Jerusalem, as I've said, he went down across the Kidron Valley. There was a stream there in those days. And crossing the stream, he would head up into the mountains to the Mount of Olives. And near the Mount of Olives was the Garden of Gethsemane. That stream traditionally was a stream that carried the residue from the sacrifices of the temple. And so it very typically ran with a reddish color from the blood of the sacrifices from the temple. Isn't it curious that Jesus determined to walk from the Kidron Valley across that stream, stepping over the blood, walking toward the final word about blood? And as he stepped over that stream, I have no doubt he thought, this stream will no longer run red because I am going to end the sacrifice. Not that that was the case, but the ultimate sacrifice. This prayer, as I've said in chapter 17, is Jesus' really prayer, real prayer. The Lord's Prayer is his model for us to pray. This was his prayer to the Father. Many commentators and ministers that have spoken on this passage call this prayer the Holy of Holies, where John gives us this Holy Spirit-inspired window into the open heart of Jesus and his relationship with the Father. Nothing more intimate in Scripture than this prayer between Jesus and his Father. And think about the subject matter of this prayer. The first five verses are about him. Glorify yourself, glorify me. From verse 6 to verse 19 about the disciples, verse 20 to the end of the chapter about us. So essentially from verse 6 all the way to the end of the chapter, it's about you. Jesus praying for you. These words from verse 6 all the way through the end of the chapter are his heart for you, poured out to the Father. I'm going to just run through them so we aren't here till 7. But as I do, when I read these passages, I want you to put yourself in the wording. Don't let it be about them or some vague concept. Hear these words as Jesus himself speaking directly to you as if there is no one else in the room. And that is true. You are the disciple that Jesus loved. Father, the time has come, and you know in Scripture for a while, time is not yet come. The time is not yet come. The time is not yet come. Chapter 13 begins with, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come. It was time. It was not time, and now it is time. And he knew it. And he was determined to walk the rest of the way for the disciples that Jesus loved. He was fixed on Jerusalem for one reason, so that you could know that you are the disciple that Jesus loved. And then he uses this word given in verse 2. He uses it again, and he uses gave in verse 4. 15 times in this chapter, the word gave or given is used. Can you hear me? You are a treasure gift that the Father has given to the Son. And the Son has received the treasure gift from the Father and sees you only ever as that treasure gift given from the Father to Him. And if you sense you are that treasure gift, hear His heart about you. The treasure that you are to Him always. The treasure that you are to Him because He bought it for you. Hear the words that He describes about that. Beginning in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me. Is that true? Has He been revealed to you? Do you believe that Christ has been revealed to you? They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Is that true about you? Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. Is that true? For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Is that true? Have you accepted His words? They knew with certainty that I came from you. Is that true? They believed that you sent me. Do you believe that? I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. You are His. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Your salvation was bought with a heavy price. You were in the world in darkness, enslaved by sin. Christ came and brought you out of the world. And as we're going to hear later on, sanctified you, consecrated you, made you holy, and then sent you back into the world. Listen to His heart as He prays to the Father. Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave me. None has been lost with the exception. He's protecting you. And you may say, well, my life doesn't really feel like He's been protecting me. A lot of things have come about in my life that don't feel like protection. Do you believe He's protecting you somehow? I'm coming to you now, But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And what is that? The full measure? The certainty that you are the disciple that Jesus loved. There is nothing that brings more joy than knowing where you stand in the heart of God. Not circumstance related, not my perception and how I feel like, well, I can't be that important enough to him, or if he really knew what I was like, you'd know why it is that I can't believe that he loves me. He knows you exactly as you are. Everything about you, better than you know yourself. And he says, son, daughter, child, you are the disciple that I love. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one while they're there. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The Lord is saying, protect them from the evil one. The world brings what it brings. Our flesh brings what it brings. Protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. Your word is truth. The word sanctify there is the word consecrate. We will consecrate the elements a little later on this morning. Consecrate them. Take ordinary and make it holy. Make them holy ones, Father. For them, I sanctify myself so that they too may be sanctified or consecrated. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. One day, when the trumpet sounds and our Savior comes with all the saints and angels to take us home, you will see him in all his glory. In the meantime, because he lives in you and the Spirit lives in you, you can catch, although in a mirror dimly, glimpses of that glory. And the vehicle of the glimpse of that glory is the certainty of where you stand with him. Your glory is his glory, and his glory is his love for you. And if he truly calls you the disciple that I love, how will you live in the world? Do you believe that you are the disciple that Jesus loved? If you do not, Lord, help my unbelief, because it is true. If you believe that you are the disciple that Jesus loved, little children, love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words, these powerful, majestic words. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would translate the mystery of the depth of these words into our hearts. And in those places where we doubt the magnitude, the extent, the immensity of your love for us, fill those places with light and truth. Holy Spirit, guide us into that truth so that we can know who we are in Christ. And from that place, may we love the world and give the gospel of good news, which brings great joy to the world in which we live, until the day that we depart from this earth. Amen.
Let us stand together and assert with certainty our relationship with the Father as we proclaim our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son.